You are Locked On Angels, your daily Los Angeles Angels podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to Locked On Angels, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. And thank you for making Locked On Angels your first listen of the day every single day, even during the offseason. You guys are great. Shoot me a follow. I'm Steve Granato at Steve Granato, G-R-A-N-A-D-O. I'm active on Twitter and, of course, at Locked On Angels as well. Coming up on today's show, we have a recent article in The Athletic we have to talk about. It's talking about the minor league problem, especially when it concerns the Angels. Then we're going to stay talking some minor league stuff here, and we're going to talk about the Arizona Fall League, which just announced its rosters. And we have a voicemail, so we're going to talk a little bit about free agency here in our final segment. So kind of a packed show here. Let's go ahead and dive right in. Before we get to the minor league stuff, however, want to remind you, tomorrow we are continuing our grading 2021 season, where we are handing out letter grades for all things Angels baseball that has nothing to do with baseball. And what we're going to do tomorrow is talk about the broadcast. So we'll be talking about Bally Sports, AM 830, YouTube, pre and post, and Angels Weekly. We're going to be talking about all that stuff. So I want to get your opinions. You can be featured on tomorrow's show. Give me a phone call and leave me a voicemail. Our number, 714-409-6396. If you can't write that down right now, if you're driving to work or something like that, it's in the show notes. So don't forget, you have only a couple more hours right now, because I'll be recording this episode, as if you're listening to this in the morning on Thursday, then I'll be recording this episode fairly soon. So go ahead and give me a call, 714-409-6396. You can be on Friday's show. So that's that. We're rating the broadcast. Okay, let's dive right in. Okay, there was an article in The Athletic a couple of days ago. We tried to get into last episode on Wednesday. We couldn't get into it, so we're going to talk about it now. There's an article titled, "Help Us, Angels Minor Leaguer Pleads with the Organization to Follow Through on Promise to Address Conditions." So if you remember a while back, not too far long ago, Kieran Lovegrove, an Angels prospect, a minor league player right now, was talking about the harsh conditions in minor league baseball, which I can 100% attest to. I have worked in minor league baseball for years. I'm still around it. I spent 3 years in minor league ball with the Dodgers, Rockies, and Pirates. So I have seen firsthand many tough situations for minor league players. So these are unfortunately not shocking to hear about. What was it all about? Okay, so this is talking with catcher Michael Cruz. He's a Puerto Rican player who is playing right now, and he was detailing the situations that he is in, and mostly talking about his housing situation. Now, that is the big one, right? The one that a lot of people have been talking about. Thankfully, it's finally getting a light shined onto it, is the issue with housing for minor league players. If you are a minor league baseball player, in case you're not familiar with how the system works, you know, there's multiple levels that you jump back and forth through. Hopefully, you know, you can make it all the way to the top, but for most players, it's not the case. But for Michael Cruz, he was talking about how hard it's been for him because he's not been able to go home. He has a newborn, but he doesn't make enough money to pay for the things to get him home and or for his family to come out and things like that. Minor leaguers don't make a good amount of money, and it is seriously a pretty big problem. Michael Cruz was talking about this. This is directly from the article in The Athletic, which I will, by the way, link in the show notes. He says, Cruz feels empowered to speak up because he saw his roommate do the same. That was Kieran Lovegrove back in July, sharply criticizing the Angels organization treatment of minor league players in an ESPN story. In discussing issues with housing, nutrition, Lovegrove directly called out team owner Artie Moreno. We've talked about Artie on this show a couple of times already in the last 2 weeks, ever since I've taken over. And I've made my feelings about Artie Moreno pretty clear. Once again, like I've echoed in the past, he is not unique in how an organization treats its minor league players, which is extremely unfortunate. There are very, very small strides in a couple of organizations in baseball and how they treat their minor leaguers, but it's nowhere near to where it needs to get. Perry Minasian did not commit to any changes yet. I know he had spoken out in response to the Lovegrove story back in July, but the Angels haven't necessarily done anything yet. I know a lot of guys are scared to speak up because they're, you know, can be let go. They're at will employees and that kind of stuff. So they're very worried about their careers taking a nosedive if they do end up speaking out. So this is a serious problem. These guys are making pennies, you know, for how much they work and how long they work. They are also only getting paid during the minor league season, which runs April through September, typically. You know, this year ran through to October, but because of obvious things, but it typically runs through September. And a lot of guys just, you know, it's not like in the off season, you're not working on this kind of stuff. You still have to stay in shape. You have to do your off season regimens and you have to stay healthy and, or you're rehabbing and you're not getting paid for any of that time. And it's just pretty ridiculous considering how much money, not only A, Artie Moreno, but B, Major League Baseball has. It's truly ridiculous how much they don't pay. And, you know, and they're not asking to be millionaires. They're asking just to make a living wage. And it is truly, truly ridiculous. And it is embarrassing as a fan of this organization, the way they treat them. Remember during the pandemic, you know, during 2020, the Angels did not commit to paying their minor leaguers during the hiatus. And a lot of guys were screwed. And, you know, it hurts a lot of players. It hurts a lot of lives. And, you know, we could talk about this for an entire episode. I'm not going to bore you too much with the details, but just know, firsthand experience for me. And, you know, I'm very involved in all this kind of stuff. It's a major, major problem. And players are finally starting to speak out. And this is just another instance of that. So I'm proud of Michael Cruz. I'm proud of Kieran Lovegrove for finally speaking out of the horrendous, embarrassing and inexcusable conditions that minor league players are put through. You know, they're trying to be the greatest athletes on the planet in one of the toughest sports on the planet. And I think at bare minimum, you can give them a roof over their head and something to eat. It's not like they're asking for the world. So it's just pretty embarrassing. It always is. And it's disgusting. For me personally, they need to treat them better. And, you know, this isn't the only problem in minor league baseball. There's lots of it. You know, we talked about, or we haven't talked about on the show, but much was made about One Baseball and Rob Manfred's plan for making it better and how that very clearly in years' time has not been good. They cut 42 minor league teams. Those teams have had to kind of fend for themselves. They put them, you know, backs against the wall. A lot of the communities across the country lost their minor league teams and had to figure out what to do with those ballparks and, you know, figure out how to handle things without a major league affiliate. It was a big problem, and it still is a big problem, and we're still feeling it across the country. We don't feel it here in Southern California because we have so much professional major league baseball, but across the country, you know, in places like Idaho and in places like West Virginia and South Carolina and like all those areas that don't have professional major league baseball have minor league baseball. And right now, you know, they're certainly feeling those effects. The good news is there's some movement on this right now. Players are starting to speak up, and especially at the major league level, with these fair ball wristbands. If you haven't seen it, guys like Andrew McCutchen have been wearing them on the field of play. They are teal wristbands. So as you watch the remainder of the postseason, keep your eye out for teal wristbands. Those players are standing with minor league players. And I'm be very curious to see how it plays out in the upcoming CBA, which, you know, is going to be a whole nother discussion. We'll actually probably talk about that for a full week about what's going on, and may we even have a lockout here in the off season. It's going to be kind of interesting to see how things go. If these things kind of bother you and you want to do something about it, there's a couple of organizations that I've linked in the episode description. Minor League Advocates, they help minor leaguers, and another one called More Than Baseball. Those are two organizations that help minor leaguers, you know, get food and have housing and, you know, just kind of help them get through the minor league system a little bit easier. If anything, just toss them a follow on Twitter, and maybe somewhere down the line you can toss them a couple bucks. I fully advocate for those two organizations. Again, they are linked in the show notes. And if you're interested in learning and hearing about this kind of stuff, there's a podcast that I listen to called Tipping Pitches. I know they were friends with Brent. I don't know if they were ever on the show. I can't remember. But the Tipping Pitches guys are great. They're pretty funny, and it's a pretty good show. So if you're looking for a weekly show that talks about this stuff fairly regularly, that's a show I like. They're not paying me to say that or anything like that. So I endorse Tipping Pitches as a good show if you want to go listen to that kind of stuff. There's also something I linked down there. It was an article I was interviewed for last year from The Ringer. It's about some minor league stuff too, and the lack of minority play-by-plays in minor league baseball. It's something that's extremely important to me. It has some good resources in there, and I would encourage you to go read it. I've started to speak up about this issue as well, and the lack of diversity, as we've talked about. I'm a Mexican-American play-by-play announcer that has struggled to get back into minor league baseball. So that's in the show notes as well if you're curious about learning all that kind of stuff as well. All right, on a lighter note, coming up next, we're going to be talking about the Arizona Fall League. They just announced the rosters, and a couple Angels are on there, and so we'll get all into that. But real quick, this episode of Locked On Angels is brought to you by Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts you need. Why would you endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questions and wait while the person behind the counter orders the parts on their computer and they only choose the brand their warehouse happens to carry? It's a total mess. You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. Save time and money when using Rock Auto. Why would you choose to spend 30, 50, or even 100% more for the same parts from a chain store or a car dealership? It makes no sense. Rock Auto is a family business serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years, and their prices are reliably low for every customer. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. Alrighty, back here. Let's talk about the Arizona Fall League. So the Arizona Fall League, in case you fans aren't aware or haven't heard of it, maybe you're newer baseball fans and you kind of hear these words and you don't know what it is. The Arizona Fall League is essentially kind of like a spring training, but in fall, and it's for minor leaguers only. I have gone to a game before, and it's kind of cool because it's super low-key. This will kind of date it a little bit. When I went to the Arizona Fall League, Gleyber Torres was playing. Cody Bellinger was playing. Alex Verdugo was playing. So it was pretty cool. This was back a couple of years ago, obviously. This is before Bellinger got called up to the show. I think this was 2017, I want to say, was the last time I went to the Arizona Fall League. I actually plan on going this year, hopefully, fingers crossed. I have some family out in Phoenix that I want to visit, and I want to go check out a couple Fall League games. It runs from October 13th, so that's this coming Wednesday, all the way through November 20th. So if you postseason after the World Series ends and you're kind of itching to get your baseball fix, head on out to Arizona. It's not too far if you live here in Southern California, which I imagine most of you do. It's totally worth it. It's super, super cheap. And it's a pretty good time. I mean, if you're just looking to catch a couple minor leaguers play, it's a bunch of pretty good prospects. And you know, it's no pomp and circumstance. It's no frills, kind of like backyard style baseball where they just go out and they play the game and they call it a day. I don't even remember if there's a PA announcer. I don't think there was when I went. But we do have a couple of Angels representatives. They'll be playing for the Glendale Desert Dogs. We have seven players that'll be going to the Arizona Fall League. Jeremiah Jackson, number five prospect. He's a shortstop. Right-handed pitcher, Robinson Pina. He is a number 20 on the Angels MLB pipeline. And then number 26 outfielder, Orlando Martinez. There's a couple other guys, a couple other pitchers. Right-hander, Nathan Burns. Right-hander, Coleman Crow. Right-hander, Zach Lingenfelter. And then catcher, Anthony Mulrine. So seven guys. This is pulled from MLB.com. I'll go ahead and link that as well. Don't worry, everything's going to be linked. This is pulled just to kind of talk about those guys. It says, Jackson missed a good, this is Jeremiah Jackson, missed a good amount of time in 2021 with a quad strain, but he had a 906 OPS in his minimal 218 plate appearances. This is kind of interesting for Robinson Pina. He'll have to be added to the 40-man roster this offseason if he wants to stay in the organization. He pitched all amongst three levels this year, and he ended up leading the system in batting average against, which was 207, and he was third in strikeouts, 140. So a pretty good year for Robinson Pina, but again, he will have to make the 40-man roster or become a free agent during this offseason. And then they also highlighted Orlando Martinez. He was up for the Rule 5 draft last year, was not taken, and then he was up at Double-A this year. He knocked 16 homers this season. So those are kind of the guys that you can watch out for. I've only seen Coleman Crowell personally, the right-handed pitcher, who's one of the seven, but it'll be pretty cool. I would totally recommend you guys going out to the Fall League. Again, it's a pretty good time. It's super, super low-key, and I feel like it was like $5 or $6 when I went, so it's not like break the bank stuff. I'm pretty sure I paid more for my Uber to the ballpark than I did for the actual ticket itself. They have like very minimal, I think they had concessions. I don't even remember. This was a while ago. Very minimal. They have some apparel. So if you're like a hat junkie and you want to get like an Arizona Fall League hat, I know they had hats. They had a couple of shirts. So if you're kind of into that apparel and having some weird minor league stuff, this is definitely the way to go. So head out to the Arizona Fall League. Again, it starts on October 13th through November 20th. You can see some of these guys. Curious to see what Jeremiah Jackson brings. Again, he's kind of coming off a bit of an injury plague season. So that's the main reason why he's there, so he can get some more at-bats. But it runs for about a month and a half, a little under a month and a half, about a month and a week. So you might as well head out there if you have the means, or if you're in the area, head out to the Fall League. It's a good time, and maybe I'll see you there. All right, in our last segment, we have a voicemail, so we're going to talk a little bit about free agency again. I want to get you guys involved in the conversation, but first, we're back and better than ever. All eyes are on the gridiron as teams are back on to start another football season. As always, BetOnline is your number one spot for all the pro and college football action this season. With a new updated site and interface, even more odds, props, and contests, betonline.ag continues to be the number one source for everything football. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today to receive your 100% welcome bonus. That's double your initial deposit just for signing up. Don't forget to use the promo code NFL100. From football, basketball, boxing, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline, the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite sports, and use promo code LOCKEDON. Okay, let's check out this voicemail.
Jeremy Cooper, I think you have to go after Scherzer to mentor all your pitchers that you've drafted. Plus, he'd be like a number, probably our number one, with Suarez and Sandoval, and maybe Barria, and Ohtani, of course. I do think you should sign Cobb. 2 years, 3 years. Raisa Iglesias would be great. And I think Trevor Story, shortstop. I think you have to determine what's your payroll going to be, because I think the payroll needs to be $200 million, and then you pare it down over a couple, 3 years. And then we just have to pray everyone's healthy. But if you have Scherzer, Cobb, Suarez, Sandoval, Reed Detmers, that's pretty good. And then you're going to have to now get more bullpen help, too, on top of Raisa Iglesias, so... Angels have a lot of work to do, and let's hope they stay healthy. Love the show. Thank you.
Hey, Jeremy, thanks for the call, man. First time we've got your voice here, so I appreciate you calling in. Of course, if you want to call into our show, 714-409-6396 is that voicemail line. So, okay, talking Max Scherzer. So, full disclosure, we are recording this episode before the National League wildcard game. Of course, Scherzer pitched last night, so... I don't know how he pitched. Not that that would make any difference. I don't know who wins the National League wildcard game. Ooh, crazy. You do. Exciting. Anyway, so I don't know how Scherzer pitched, but that's very clearly not going to matter. Max Scherzer has been rumored to be tied to the Angels. If you remember, Matt Vasgersian was talking about this a couple of days ago, maybe like a week ago. Gosh, maybe 2 weeks ago. Was talking about maybe Max Scherzer, but he's probably clearly not thinking about it yet. It's going to be tough. It's going to be expensive to land Max Scherzer. Not that that really matters. As a mentor, I feel like that's an interesting point. That's one way I haven't thought about it yet. Max Scherzer as a mentor for guys like, you know, Suarez, Sandoval, Barria, and even, you know, Otani, like you mentioned there. You also mentioned probably wanting to get 2 to 3 years of Alex Cobb. We asked you that a couple of days ago, I believe. I can't remember which show it was at this point. They all blur. But if you guys were interested in signing Alex Cobb, you can always send me a tweet at Lockdown Angels if you're still interested in signing Alex Cobb. I don't know. I'm still kind of on the fence with Alex Cobb just because of the injuries and stuff like that. He's still fairly young. So we'll see. And if the Angels can even, you know, convince him to come back at this point. Raisel Iglesias, duh. We've talked about it. We've talked about it many times. We all want Raisel Iglesias back. I've seen no detractors on that one. Trevor Story is an interesting one. We had a caller last week mention that, you know, that would be a dumb idea, that the Angels will just go out and sign a Trevor Story and just waste a bunch of money, kind of like an Anthony Rendon situation, or like they like into an Albert Pujols situation. Trevor Story is a great ball player, duh. Free agent. We'll kind of dive more into the free agent market once we kind of get there. The Rockies did just sign CJ Krohn, former Angel, and then they signed Herman Marquez. So they were pretty quick moving on the free agent front, so we'll see if they are interested in also bringing back Trevor Story. I don't think that's going to be the case, but the Angels do need to address that hole. That can't be the only hole they address. I don't think you can reliably move with Luis Renjifo and David Fletcher up the middle next season. I don't think that's going to be the smart case. I think you need to get somebody like we got Jose Iglesias last year. I think that's the smarter move. Payroll, $200 million you mentioned. Okay. I could go on about this. We kind of talked about Artie Moreno already, but you got to remember, like, $200 million is not even a drop in the pan, man. They can go way past that. They just don't want to because of the luxury tax thing, which is just such a dumb thing. We'll see if that gets addressed in the CBA. We got to imagine the CBA and lack thereof potentially will definitely hamper free agency. So I think you guys need to temper your expectations, because there's a lot of problems right now going into this offseason. Once the postseason ends, it's going to turn over to the CBA real quick, and the negotiations thereafter are probably going to get really heated, I would anticipate, and you might even anticipate a lockout, and maybe that will last a little longer than you would want. There are a lot of sticking points. We're going to talk about that a little bit later on in this offseason, but there are a lot of sticking points right now in that CBA that you need to look out for. So I'd be careful with how excited you would be about, you know, getting ready to sign guys, because that might be on the back burner for a while here. I got to imagine a lot of players aren't going to be too stoked to sign a multi-year deal into something, you know, that they don't really know what the future of negotiations and labor looks like in Major League Baseball. So thanks again for your call, Jeremy. I really appreciate it, man. Of course, you can always give us a call too. If you're listening and go, hey, that's kind of cool, I want to be a part of the show, you can. And if you're looking for something to talk about, again, give us a call for Friday's episode. Call us right now. You got to do it right now, because we're going to be working on that episode real quick here. Tell me about your experience watching the broadcast this year or listening to AM 830. Did you like Bally Sports? Which play-by-play, if you had to choose, would you prefer moving forward? Matty V, Rich, Patrick O'Neill? Did you like Patrick O'Neill on play-by-play? That was kind of bizarre. Do you want, you know, Jose Mota to move into the play-by-play? How did you like AM 830, if you did or didn't? I want to hear about it all. What are your thoughts about the broadcast again? Grading 2021 will continue on Friday's show with a look at how we watch and listen to Angels baseball. That voicemail line again, 714-409-6396. If you want to listen to my voice in a different context, I made a docuseries called Our Game. It examines the Latin contributions to American baseball throughout the last 200 years, so the entirety of baseball. It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of interesting information you probably haven't heard about, and we examine a lot of interesting things. So I would highly recommend you go listen to Our Game. It's linked in the show notes. If you want something completely different, you can listen to my other podcast called Movies I Should Have Watched. It's a podcast where my best friend Alex and I are watching all the movies that people yelled at us we were supposed to watch a long time ago. This week on Movies I Should Have Watched, we just released our Ghostbusters episode. Yesterday, we watched Ghostbusters. For me, it was for the first time in a very long time, about 20 years since I had watched Ghostbusters. So we watched it, we reviewed it, and we talked about it all. That's a lot of fun. It's also linked in the show notes. You can follow me on Twitter at Steve Granato, and of course at Locked On Angels. Thanks for making Locked On Angels your first listen of the day. Now for your second listen of the day, go listen to Locked On MLB. Paul Francis Sullivan, a.k.a. Sully, brings you his unique perspective on the major leagues past and present. It's free and available on all platforms. All right, folks, that's going to do it for us here today. Don't forget to give me a call. Episode tomorrow, we are grading the broadcast. Grading 2021 continues. Hopefully, you're enjoying the playoffs so far. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Later.